Yo, welcome to Crypto 101. This is Matthew Aaron. And do you remember the episode with Yob Plus? He was an average crypto trader, just like everybody else that's listening. He was a listener of Crypto 101. We reached out to him, and he came on the show. Well, we did that again. And this time we got two people to come on the show and just tell us about their day-to-day trading experiences. Now, these two people, Ben and James, are just average listeners of Crypto 101. I received an email from each of them either once or twice or multiple occasions, and we've chatted about, you know, crypto things. They asked a question. They said, hey, you know what? I like your show, or can you explain this topic a little better? And so we had this, you know, email rapport, and then one day I reached out to them and said, hey, would you like to come on the show and just chat to the audience? They said, cool. So here they are. Without further ado, here is Ben Humphreys and James Nixon talking about their day-to-day trading experience. I hope you enjoy, and thank you for listening. All right, Ben. Hey, how you doing, man? Very nice to meet you.
Yeah, good. Thanks. Thanks for having me on. And yourself?
Hey, thank you. Thank you for coming on. And I'm pretty good, too. Thank you for asking. Hey, Ben, if you don't mind, could you just tell the listeners a little bit about yourself, who you are, where you're from?
I'm a 24-year-old from a small country town in New South Wales, from Australia. And I'm currently living in Melbourne, Victoria, in Australia.
So how did you get into crypto?
I first sort of found out about the crypto world through... I'm a physio, so I run some exercise classes, and there's this old fella called Keith in my class, and he'd lectured on economics and finances and all that sort of thing, and he mentioned it to me, so I was interested and had a bit of a read about a lot of things and looked on YouTube and found some interesting things, and I thought after, you know, doing hours of research, I thought, oh, this would be worth a go, and I sort of started a few weeks ago and bought my first coin.
Right on, man. What was your first coin you bought?
Firstly, I bought a bit of Bitcoin.
All right.
I bought enough Bitcoin to buy me one Ethereum. All right. So that's sort of where I'm at the moment. And
so you're holding one Bitcoin. I'm sorry, you're holding a little bit of Bitcoin and a little bit of Ethereum right now.
Yeah, and I also bought some Electronium in the pre-sale.
Okay.
So I've read a little bit about that, and I don't know heaps, but from what I've seen on YouTube, and I follow a few Instagram, I guess, crypto pages, and a few of them have been pointing towards that. So I'm not 100% entirely sure of exactly what the technology behind it is and the team, but I've only spent a little bit of money on it, so we'll see where that one goes.
Yeah, man. Good luck with that. Good luck. So what about cryptocurrency got you infatuated with it? What made you say, was it the financial gain? Was it the tech? Was it both? What is it about blockchain?
Yes. Well, I didn't know anything about blockchain before I looked into it either. So that was what I obviously also discovered on the way. But it's the fact that it is, I guess, decentralized and not regulated by the government, and, which makes it quite intriguing, but also risky, as everyone has said. Mm-hmm. But it was the fact that it gave a chance to the average day person, you know, this normal person, to, I guess, have a go at trying to make themselves a bit more money, really. And I don't know a whole lot of, it's all pretty foreign to me, so I haven't done anything with shares or anything like that. So I thought I'd try my luck.
Right on. Have you had any big wins or losses so far? Have you traded a bit, or did you just buy and hold so far?
More so just bought and held, really, for now. I haven't, I've got a bit of money sitting there in CoinJar, which is the first, I think it's more of a wallet rather than an exchange. You can only buy Bitcoin on there, so I've got a bit waiting, and I'm sort of waiting for if it ever happens, the Bitcoin price to drop, so I can then buy some more altcoins. Now I've got a few lined up, which I've talked to you about, that I'd like to to buy.
What's your list?
I've got about 15 or so on there.
Oh, wow. Okay. Yeah, man. Give it. What is on your radar? Tell everybody what's on your radar.
The next one I want to get is Vertcoin and Verium.
Okay.
Also want to look into some Litecoin. Mm-hmm. And there, I've heard a bit about Stratus and Lisk, which are a bit, I guess, cheaper on and smaller than the rest of them. And I've heard a few of the coins mentioned from your guests on the podcast that have said things like Tezos, if that's how you pronounce it. Mm-hmm. So I'm interested in those. I need to do a bit more research though before I make a decision on that.
All right. What is one thing you like about the crypto space? What do you think of all the hype, the FUD, the Bitcoin, the Forex? As somebody that is just getting into it, how do you feel about all this?
I'm not too invested to have an opinion on everything that's happening, but the FUD and the skepticism, I guess, that's not necessarily involved with the crypto, but the everyone else, so like family, friends, girlfriend, all that sort of thing, everyone is quite skeptical and almost against what crypto is and the digital currencies and that sort of thing, given that they think it's such a high risk and everyone almost fearful that you're going to lose all your money through it. But in terms of the hard forks and what's just happened with Bitcoin, I asked a few people like yourself about what was going to happen, and no one can predict what's exactly going to happen. So I haven't got a much direction on that, rather than just a wait and see approach, and hoping that the Bitcoin price drops so I can get in and then hopefully score some good trades.
Maybe after this 2x is going to drop a bit, but I cannot see it going anywhere down in the next couple of weeks.
Yeah, no.
So good luck with that. So you said you have people around you that are pretty much FUD all the time. What are they saying, and how does that affect you? I mean, I guess my question is, when people are FUDing around you, what do you do to keep yourself interested and not discouraged?
I sort of steer away from the negativity because their intentions are good.
Right.
They want to make sure I'm, investing my money well, or I guess spending my money where I'm going to get some value out of it. But what I do to stay positive, I try and do as much research on the particular currency. Mm-hmm. I am doing things like listening to the podcast, getting a bit of direction from someone other than myself because I don't know a whole lot about it. And I try and basically educate myself and then try and educate them. Mm-hmm. And give them a bit of more of an understanding, because when people don't know a lot about something, they're often very skeptical and can criticize it. Whereas when someone understands something a bit better, they're a bit more open-minded to the idea of it.
And I guess that's what we're all trying to do here is from Crypto 101 and the team to even you. We're all trying to get people involved in blockchain because I think that we are still the early adopters of this, disruptive technology, and it's really hard to get people to understand what this is, and it's not a Ponzi scheme.
Yeah, that's right. I've heard that before, and it's hard to get a grasp on. As I said, it's in its infancy, and I've heard it's been compared to the internet in 1992, and look where that's ended up, like huge, and it's changed technology forever. So I just don't want to miss the boat. I want to get on now, invest now, and hopefully see where that takes me.
I have one more question. I have two more questions for you. I'm sorry. How did you get listening to Crypto 101?
I literally just went on the App Store, typed in cryptocurrencies, and it came up with someone else's and then yours. And the other one had about way too many podcasts to catch up on, and yours is a newer one. And I listened to maybe one from the channel. I'm not sure who it was, but and then I listened to yours, and I'm thinking, all right, Matt's got less to listen to, and he sounds like a pretty cool dude, so I reckon I could listen to him instead of what I found before.
Thank you for listening. I appreciate it, man. So
last
question, what song do you want with your portion of the interview?
One song?
Actually, two songs. If you could, an intro and an outro.
They're both a bit pretty different from each other. I've got one from Rufus called Brighter.
All right.
And that's more of a DJ sort of mainstream sort of song. And then I also like to listen to a band called Amity Affliction, which are pretty a bit heavier. And it's called Way Down, so it's not too heavy.
Oh, that's cool, man.
It's got good parts in it, so I think those are my two picks.
Right on, right on. Ben, thank you very much for spending the time with us on Crypto 101, and good luck with your trading and good luck with Bitcoin.
Awesome, mate. Thanks for having me on, and looking forward to a few more podcasts.
Thank you, sir. Thank you.
Hello.
Can you hear me?
Hello.
Uh-oh. Yeah, I accidentally prank called James's wife. Phone number mix up. It's long and complicated story and not that interesting. Sorry, Mrs. Nixon. All right, brother. I think we're rolling. Very nice to meet you, sir. How are you doing?
Wonderful. How are you doing today?
I'm very good. Hey, man. You know, it's very nice to meet you. Very nice to reach out. Thank you for coming on the show and talking with me. If you could, just tell everybody your name, who you are, where you're from, and what's up.
Yeah. Name's James Nixon. I'm from Canada. Born, raised just a couple hours from Toronto. And I'm 41. Got three kids. Just working away. I work at a nuclear power plant.
All right.
Day off today. I'm a shift worker, so I work nights, days. So I think we're like 12 hours apart. So this is kind of different.
Yeah, we're exactly 12 hours apart. You're in Canada, Ontario.
That's correct.
What city?
I'm kind of near Kincardine, which is a couple hours west of Toronto on Lake Huron.
Okay, cool. All right. I grew up in Cleveland, so...
Oh, yeah, I've been down there. I went to a golf tournament there, Akron.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, Akron. So let's just get right into it. How did you get into crypto?
Right on. Yeah, I'd say, well, it was earlier this year. I didn't have a trading account for anything. And as you've probably heard and your listeners have heard, basically marijuana stocks have taken off in the last year or so. And in Canada, it's going legal. So there's a big buzz around that. A lot of people have made some money. So I basically got a trading account and I started, you know, playing around with stocks. And one Cash for Difference platform had an option to you're not buying Bitcoin, but to basically buy a Cash for Difference on Bitcoin. Mm-hmm. And I heard about it and read about it a little, but I wasn't, and this was probably around May, which is obviously when it all went crazy. So. Right. Oh, why not? And so I went in and then I started to learn about Ethereum and some of the different things. And I watched a couple documentaries and basically got more and more into it until I ended up actually getting some crypto accounts because I figured I might as well actually own the coins instead of just paying someone else to buy them and hoping for make the difference because they take a pretty big cut from you.
Right.
I went to school in the University of Waterloo for engineering and it turns out that's where the Ethereum guy went to school too.
Oh, okay. Right on.
Yeah, neat. They're having some, I think it maybe already happened, but there was some sort of a conference they were doing I think this month. I was seeing if I could maybe get in, but haven't looked into that yet.
Right on, man. I hope you get in there. If you do get in there, reach out to us and let us know how it was.
Yeah. I'll have to look that. I forget where I saw it, but it was pretty interesting.
So when you were getting into crypto, you got your trading platforms. What was your first platform you got on?
The first one was Coinbase.
Okay.
That was the first way I could figure out how to get dollars turning into bitcoins.
All right.
And since I'm on a whole bunch of them now, just because different ones you need to have for different coins. And also I thought it might be good to spread things around a bit in case something gets hacked, or I don't know, maybe that's a worse idea. I'm not sure what I'm doing yet.
No, so. I think it's a good idea. So how is setting up Coinbase for a Canadian? Pretty straightforward and simple, or it was a little bit of a pain in the ass?
I didn't find it too bad. If you want to take money out, you can't.
Oh, wow. Really?
Yeah, they might have changed it. They actually have a message now that says, unfortunately, for whatever reason, for Canadians, we can't switch it back.
Oh.
But, yeah, so it's not trapped in, you know, the nether. Yeah, I think through Kraken, I can draw funds now. So.
Right.
I figure I don't plan on withdrawing anyway anytime soon, so they'll figure it out eventually, or I just find ways to spend it.
When you got into Coinbase, I would assume your first purchase was Bitcoin?
I think so. It might have been Ethereum.
Okay.
By the time I got, I was already buying CFDs for Ethereum, and I kind of liked the idea of it better.
Mm-hmm.
And keep in mind, this was, I think it was around June or July, so it was going, it went up above 400, I'm pretty sure.
Right, yes.
So at the time. I can't remember, to be honest.
So you bought your Ethereum. You probably have a little Bitcoin. After that, you got to these other exchanges. What were some of the first coins, altcoins, that you looked into, and which coins are you holding now that you feel that you're just going to be long on, that you really feel excited about?
I'm still learning quite a bit, and I honestly can't soak up enough information fast enough. So I'm listening to, you know, podcasts like yours and different ones, and lots of reading on Reddit. But one of the first ones I did was Neo.
Okay.
And it could have been based on something you said, but then I looked, did some of my own research, and you know, China's such a huge market, so it seemed like maybe a good one to hold. Vert coin was another one.
Which is doing very nicely lately.
Yeah, it actually did. It did pretty good for me. I liked it. A couple I liked the idea of that I'd heard on podcasts and bought into a bit was Substratum and QRL. It seems like it's sort of early for worrying about quantum, but the way technology goes, it just rockets, and before we know it, they may have quantum computers, and now all the other ones become obsolete. So it's
right.
Kind of a hedge. Right now, with everything going on, I've kind of, I guess, crypto's kind of taking, the altcoins are taking a real hit because of Bitcoin's split.
Yep.
And all the there. So I've kind of switched over into that mode a wee bit, but okay. I still got a few.
With your trading, you actually made some really good choices. I don't know when you got into Neo, but Neo went crazy for a while, up to like 54.
I wasn't early on it, not at all.
No? Well, but Vertcoin, if you bought it anywhere in the last month, you probably made 500%.
Yeah, I think I at least doubled my money on it.
All right.
Yeah.
Congratulations. These are probably your biggest wins so far. What was a mistake or something that you learned along the way trading that you can share with everybody and say, this is what I did. I lost some money. It's okay.
I guess I probably got too many coins.
Okay.
Basically, a little coin trigger happy, and I would just look at ones, and it looked like everything at the time was going up, so you couldn't lose, right? So I was just trying to pick certain ones, and there's a lot I just bought little amounts of. And another thing, too, I guess trading fees. If you're just bouncing around and constantly flipping them back and forth, they're
right.
Taking a little cut at the time, so I think one of the biggest lessons I've learned is I'm not going to just jump on something because the FOMO. You see something going up and you want to just get right in on it, and you don't never know if you're near the top or at the bottom. To actually just pick some stuff that you believe in and you think long term,
right.
And maybe for a little, you know, back and forth fun, but knowing that you're not going to make your real money, I don't think, by buying tons of little ones and trying to play dips, and also it's just too complicated on your life trying to keep up with them all.
Right, right. So if there is somebody here, say, going to get into crypto right now today, they asked you, what should I do? Should I get into it? And what's your advice? What would you tell them?
I'd probably say start small. I mean, Bitcoin's always a good bet. It's kind of like you're more stable, but with everything coming up, I'd almost tell them to wait till this split's over, except it's going up crazy until then. But I guess my advice would be, it may be good to try like a practice account or something first.
Mm-hmm.
And just, you learn a lot by doing. You can read all you want, but as you actually execute trades and you look at the candles and you see how it works, you really start to get a feel for what can happen. And, you know, it just teaches you a lot. So you can kind of pretend like it's real money and just do that maybe for a bit. in the meantime, figure out how to get on a few different exchanges and maybe test taking a bit of money out first just to make sure it works.
Right. What do you think was one of the biggest obstacles to learning all of this? Like, what was, do you have any like stories or one like thing in your mind where you say, just figuring out how to send coins because of that damn long address? And like, what was one thing that you just said, this shit is hard? What would you say to somebody that said, this shit's hard, learn how to do this?
Yeah, one advice, and I was already doing this with my stock, so I just carried on in the same book, is write everything down. Every place you sign up, write its password and make a copy of it somewhere, because you don't want to sit on that page and never get back into your account once there's, you know, thousands of dollars in it. So I guess, yeah, be careful of the addresses. I made a mistake last night, actually. I tried to transfer just a small amount. It was like $100. And it didn't go. And I realized that where the place I was sending it to was like a wallet that's on my phone that I was just playing with, that it generates a new address every time you send money to it. And I just used the old one.
Oh, okay.
So it's tricky. So yeah, make sure the address you're sending, triple check it. Or I could say, but.
Bring it, please.
I guess two-factor authentication.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of them will give you like some sort of a code in case, not that I've learned from experience, but if I were to drop my phone or, you know, lose my Google Authenticator, you need another way to get in to get that. So a lot of them will generate like a code you can get in case your two-factor stops working.
Right.
I don't know. I there's a lot of lessons I still have to learn. So I don't know what to say right now, because it might be something I'll change my mind on later.
No. This is all good, because honestly, we've all went through the same things. It's everybody that starts, and that's what Crypto 101 is here for. It sounds silly to people that have been trading for a while, you know, two-factor authentication. They go, "What, you didn't do that?" And they kind of look, but really, you don't know this until you get into it.
Yeah. There's not too many other things I've used that have actually utilized two-factor authentication.
Right.
Oh, which just reminded me, another one I really like is Civic. Mm-hmm. Sorry, this is another question based on internet security. And I've heard a few interviews with Vinny, and basically I think his idea makes sense, because the company spent, you know, probably millions and billions on verifying people. And every time you buy something and you got a different password everywhere, and the idea that it's all contained there, and, you know, basically it's cheaper and easier for everyone on both sides to use. So that's one I think is coming up. Everything's really cheap right now because everyone exited altcoins. So.
Well, I was just looking at Civic just a minute ago. I think it's at 26 cents. I might pick up some more. I'm holding quite a bit right now. So,
I set a limit order. I think, I can't remember what it was because it was in Bitcoin, but I think it executed like sometime overnight. It dropped a fair bit.
Very nice. Well, we're holding, brothers.
Yeah. Oh, there's another one too. Everything I've got is on exchanges now. And I just ordered a Ledger Nano.
Mm-hmm.
Got a Ethereum paper wallet, but I've seen some people say don't leave your money on exchanges. And for me, that's the easiest way to trade with it. So anyway, so I'm trying to figure out how to store it safely, because I know they've all had security issues in the past.
Right. What I do is, and I know somebody's gonna, you know, kill me for that. I do leave some on exchanges as well that I'm gonna trade with. The ones I'm short on, but the ones I'm long on, I always download their core wallets.
That's something you can do. I didn't know if everyone has its own wallet.
Most of the time they do, depending on what kind of coin they are. If they're like an EC20, like an Ethereum token, then they probably have you can use the My Ethereum wallet. But other than that, I usually get their core wallets, because it's the developers that are usually, you know, working on those, and you can when they're put out on their website, you can just go to their Slack and ask them any questions and things like that. So
where is that? When you do that, is that with them? Like, so if you go to Vertcoin and set up a Vertcoin wallet, like, is that something you can put right into your, because I don't think the hardware wallets will keep all the coins. Some of them have a few now, but
exactly. Exactly. So for example, I'm looking at my desktop right now. I have Vertcoin, Varium, Veracoin, Navcoin, Sumocoin, and Digibyte, and those are the wallets that I got directly from their websites. Oh, and Neo as well. And so okay. I just download them. And the cool thing is about these guys is, since it's still a growing, you know, their customer service is great, because you're talking directly to the developers. So if I ever have a problem, I'm on their Slack or their Discord, And okay. I just shoot him a text message and I say, hey man, your wallet froze or I'm having this issue. Can you help me out? Can somebody help me out? And you'll get a developer on there and say, yeah, man, just do this. And it's really nifty. Yeah.
That's something I got to do in the future. Is I know that I've heard recommendations of like contact, if you're, especially these new coins, if you're interested in to learn more, just contact them directly if they've got their people up there. If they don't have their people up there, then you maybe got to worry about them.
Yeah, no, exactly. And you know, they're actually all very nice. And I became friends with a couple of these guys just through Slack. And
I think I got to sign up for that. I'm only on Reddit, and I think I might have joined another one. It might have been Discord. I can't even remember now. I've joined so many, signed up for so many things lately. I can't keep track.
It's crazy, honestly. It's too much. What do you think of the hype and the FUD in the market? So like, there's all this stuff going on with, you know, let's just say Bitcoin, the Bitcoin 2X, the Bitcoin Gold. They're talking Bitcoin Silver even after the 2X split. What do you think about this?
I find it really interesting, but it's funny. It seems like, yeah, a lot of people fighting over, I don't know, some details. I'm sure it is a big deal if they want to get this right, but they're creating a lot of uncertainty with, you know, a lot of people that have money invested or people that might be looking in thinking about investing. With all these forks, you don't know which one is Bitcoin and what's it going to be. And, you know, I think for the average person, it makes it, I don't know, a little scary to try and dump any real money into it. Mm-hmm. Or for people like us that have money into it and not knowing what to do with it, like, I don't know, it's like the stock market on steroids and, you know, a couple of Red Bulls.
Yeah.
Just gets a little intimidating.
What does your wife say about all the trading?
My daughter said to me the other day that you're at the computer a lot, because I've never been much of a guy to sit at the computer very often. You know, I just get on there here and there, and now I'm not addicted to it, but I try and wait till they go to bed now at least. But I don't know. She thinks it's interesting. I explained a lot of it to her, and I don't know. I guess she trusts me. Hopefully I don't lose all her money. I'm doing wire transfers now. You can send much more.
I think it's the most important question of the night. What two songs do you want with your interview, sir?
I thought about this, and definitely Thunderstruck's one of my favorite songs, AC/DC.
Okay.
And another one, I'm not sure how family friendly or what your rules are, but it's pretty explicit, but La Coca Nostra Brujera, I think it's called.
All right.
Their album is pretty awesome. There's about three on there I really love, but that's probably my favorite. You may want to put your kids to bed before you turn it on.
All right, you got it, man. James, very nice to have you on. Thank you for spending your time and talking with us.
Awesome. Thank you for having me. Appreciate it.
All right, thank you very much for listening to this episode of Crypto 101. I want to say a very special thanks to Ben and James for coming on the show. I really appreciate it. They're not normal podcasters or putting themselves out there like that, but they put themselves out there for our benefit. So thank you very much, and I hope everybody could get a little bit something off of their experiences, and we appreciate you coming on the show. And like always, if you like this show, please hop on iTunes, rate us, leave us some comments. We really appreciate it. It helps us stay visible. So if you do like the show, please leave a comment. And you can find us on Twitter, crypto_101. You can find us on Instagram, crypto_101. Crypto 101 is for our Facebook, which you can find by searching it. It is not closed anymore. You can just pop on and hop on our Facebook and get into our Facebook group. And you can find us on our blog and other places that you probably all know where to find us by now. You can also email me at matthew@crypto101podcast.com. That's matthew@crypto101podcast.com. And I'd like to hear from you. Maybe you can come on the show for next month. Let's see if we can make this a monthly thing. Maybe you can come on the show for next month's average person discussion. Average crypto trader. I don't want to say average because that makes it sound so average. Which you guys are, I mean, it's cool, you know, but average dude consumer, I don't know. Anyway, I say it with love. That's what I'm trying to say is when I say the average consumer, the average crypto person, it's with love. Anyway, thank you very much. I'm Matthew Aaron with Crypto 101.
otra, saco un 8, luego piden otra bolsa. Le pone esa madre hasta que el vato choca. Surtiéndoles es la cosa nuestra, homie.
What the fuck is he talking about?